This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 26, being recorded on Wednesday. It is September the 6th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
I was going to read the rabbit joke, but I'm going to read this one instead. I just last minute, it's prerogative. Woman's prerogative. A man enters a hospital for a circumcision. When he comes to after the procedure, he's perturbed to see several doctors standing around his bed. "Son, there's been a bit of a mix-up," admits the surgeon. "I'm afraid there was an accident, and we were forced to perform a sex change operation. You now have a vagina instead of a penis." "What?" gasps the patient. "You mean I'll never experience another erection?" "Oh, you might," the surgeon reassures him. "Just not yours."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
And the little doggy likes to bite me in the vagina. And he bites the Doberman on the penis. I don't like it when he bites the Doberman on the penis.
It's just a pinch.
Just a pinch on my vagina.
Son of Easta, my friends. Son of Easta, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 26, being recorded on Wednesday. It is September the 6th, 2006, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I am thrilled and delighted that each and every one of you are here for our 26th show. We got a great show for today. We're going to have a lot of fun. I want you to know that before we started the show today, I was having kind of a down day.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, people have down days. And I've been working very, very hard. And I've been experiencing some disappointments recently. Like I planned to go to Los Angeles this past weekend.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to do that. At the last minute, basically, like, everything fell apart. As shit does. I mean, you know, shit happens. Plans fall apart. The center will not hold. All of that stuff.
What was that last part? What?
Things fall apart. The center will not hold.
Oh, center will not hold. Got it.
Yeah. It's a reference to baseballs and how eventually they deteriorate. It's
okay.
Joe DiMaggio, I think, said that back
okay.
in 80. Too. Anyhow, and so by the time we got to now, like, now is the period where I need the most energy. And I had sort of the least energy. And Sean's got the flu.
Again?
So, I don't know about again. I think his wife was sick.
Oh,
last week
true.
His wife was sick and he was ministering. He was tending to his wife. Now he's sick.
Poor
which
guy.
Means that the two of them were like, nothing better than flu sex. Have you had flu sex yet?
Not yet.
No?
No.
Have you guys been sick together yet?
No, not really.
Oh.
No, we stay fairly healthy.
Not. Well, that's no fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but when she gets sick, I get paranoid because... well, because I don't want to get sick.
Oh, okay.
So I just get annoyed and paranoid and, like, get away from me kind of attitude.
I see.
Yeah.
That's very loving.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That goes over good times. Really?
Yeah. I don't feel very sensitive when another person, another human besides Melanie or anybody else is sick. I don't feel sympathetic because I got to stay healthy. It's all about me.
I don't think we said son of Easter Parvis.
Son of Easter.
You got the hand thing
I
down there.
I do got
there.
The hand thing.
You
almost
got the
like
flip.
Almost like I'm a what's that guy called with the bull and the cape?
A matador.
Yeah, that
a
guy.
A matador.
Son of Easter, Robbie.
Son of Easter.
So you were having a down weekend.
I was having a down week. We were talking about sick sex. Not sick, not the kind of sex you have.
Right, right,
but sex
right.
when you're sick.
Right.
I love that. That was so cool. Not if you're like throwing up sick, because then
I know,
that's awful.
Gross.
Yeah, that's awful. But when
she's like, are you done?
Yeah.
How can you tell? Exactly.
Oh, it's terrible.
Exactly. 5 years, my friend. I was married for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Coming up on the 23 reunion. I wonder who will be there. I plan on wearing a very special little car. Like, that wouldn't that be great for your 20th anniversary if you wore like a little name tag that was like what you looked like when you met? Hey, I remember you.
That's why we got married.
All right, we're 7 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Kip Adada, Michael Swirling, Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington, Whitney Houston. No, it's not. It's not Whitney.
Is
it
Is Whitney? That Whitney Houston?
It's Whitney Houston. Oh. And of course, the lovely and talented Samuel L. Jackson.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
And of course, Sean is not here, but he's here with us in spirit.
Acolytes, my friend.
Acolytes, my friend.
Acolytes, my friend.
Acolytes, my friend. All right, and then this is that. Now that this feels like the Sean Vitali, the Sean
you know
Meehan.
I could do Whitney Houston. Throw in the Whitney Houston. I'll give you Whitney Houston.
No, I mean this feels like the Sean Meehan school of language. Okay, now this is now you've now lesson two.
We were hoping you would bring a dog.
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 The word dog kind of extends, so it's like, we were hoping you would bring a dog.
We were hoping you would bring a dog.
We were hoping you'd bring... Give me Whitney. Give me
Whitney. Acolytes, my friend.
And I'll show you talent right now.
Okay. You want Whitney?
Give me Whitney.
All right, here we go. A little Whitney Houston.
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cogs.
Cogs. You notice he accentuates, is that Cox? He's so proud of his name, Brian
Cox. No, he's Canadian. Anyhow, I was feeling down. I was feeling blue because of all the stuff that's been going on. And I think, you know, the other thing that's true is my mom has been gone now for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like sinking in. Because my mom and I used to talk about, you know, I've shared this before with friends and on the show before, that my mom and I, we didn't always have the warmest relationship. You know, she wasn't, we were not, you know, carved from the same mold. In many ways we were, but in many ways we weren't. But one of the things we did have in common was popular culture, television. We would talk about all the series. We talk about the writing. We would talk about the acting, the direction. The two of us were real students of popular culture in that way. And so we're now into September, right? We've gone past the holiday. We had Labor Day weekend. Here in the United States, the big multiple, you know, the TV season begins. Right, in the UK, they have like little 6 episodes, 8 episodes. But here it's, what, 24, 22 episodes,
right,
something like that. And so a bunch of shows have started already. Fox started, they've already started Prison Break and whatever, and House was on last night. And I turned my mom on to House. And I kind of sat there last night feeling very melancholy about the fact that she wasn't there. Like, I couldn't call her and go, did you see House? And invariably she goes, yeah, I don't like it. My mom got bored of shit real quick, you know? And so,
oh,
like,
she wouldn't be a fan of this show.
No. I told you, we didn't get along about a lot of things. But she'd be like Monk. She liked the first season of Monk. And then, like, you know, it's like second season. Like, go, oh, they got the second season. I don't like it.
Hmm.
It's not good. You know, it's like Jay Sherman in The Critic. You know, it stinks. I don't like it. And so I think she just got bored easily is what happened. And also they would change writers and, you know, the showrunners would change and what have you. And so last night was the season premiere of House with Hugh Laurie.
Was it good?
I was terrific.
Okay.
It's a great show. Do you not watch it? No?
Not at all, no.
It's great because he's a great actor, because he's really a remarkable talent, and he pours so many dimensions into the character, because it's basically kind of a combination of a doctor show and a, you know, criminal procedural, right, where basically you kind of know what the deal is, right? There's somebody who's either dead or dying, and so he has to figure out why. So it's like, it's any Law and Order, CSI, you know, all of those things. They're all the same
thing. It's a drama or comedy?
It's a drama.
Yeah.
It's a drama, but the characters are a little quirky, and so it's light in times. Of course, it's medical drama, so it, you know, potentially life and death. But he is such an incredible actor. He has such an incredible range because he comes from a comedic background. I think people in the United States don't realize that, you know, long before he was House, he was in Blackadder. All these BBC comedies. He was in Blackadder, and he did Jeeves and Worcester. which was based on the P.G. Woodhouse series. I don't know if you ever saw any of those. He did a thing with Stephen Fry, who's another comedian in the U.K., called A Bitter Fry and Laurie, and I think they did 5 or 6 seasons of that, little blackout sketch comedy kinds of things. Kind of a Saturday Night Live, but with just two guys doing all the stuff, right? And so he comes from a comedic background where he basically plays the goofy part. And so he's done a complete about face here, where the role that he's taken on is this very straight lace, but he always has this kind of twinkle in his eye. And so the character's multidimensional.
Cool.
And I think, and my mom dug that. And that was on last night. And so in addition to it being a kind of bittersweet show,
sure,
it brought up all these emotions for me. So I was thinking, oh, maybe we don't do the show today, and Sean's sick, and I didn't have a chance to do the prep that I wanted to do because I've been all wrapped up in this whole MSNBC thing. And,
right.
And then, you know, you called and it's like, so are we doing the show? And I thought, yeah, because at the end of the day, this is not about me. It's about you. The listener. Did you see what I did?
That's good. You had the finger pointing at me. So that's, yeah, I felt
about
for it.
About you, the listener.
The listener. Oh, the listener.
It's about the listener.
I would ask that one person in China that's listening.
Oh, you saw that.
Yeah, tell a friend. I mean, don't be the only one. Don't hide the secret. Just, you know, whoever you're having coffee with, I don't know, bring it up. Say, hey, listen to Schnauzer Logic.
Do they drink coffee in China?
Or tea, is it tea?
I think it's all the tea in China.
I think so. It's all the tea. It's right. You buy all the tea in China, black tea, China tea.
China tea? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't know either.
All right.
But anyways, yes, music.
Music. Today's music. Is brought to you by the letter F.
For fun.
And the number 4.
For forever.
Okay. That was weird. The music stopped for just a second there. There's like a break in that soundtrack. And what I should do in my copious spare time is I should go in and fix that. So it doesn't have that kind of hiccupy sound.
Well,
right?
I don't think anybody's ever heard it except this moment right now when you brought it up.
And now I've ruined it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So all the songs today, because I was too lazy to go find stuff, is all... more Dylan. No. Because you know how I told you that no one has ever complained about Brian Cox?
Yes.
Ever. No one has ever complained about Brian Cox.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, don't. Don't go there. No. But no one has ever complained about Brian Cox. But we actually got a complaint about the Dylan.
Wow.
Asking if there was a way to fast forward in the online player.
Oh, no.
Because it was killing them. It was just...
Them?
Oh, mama. All right. So we're going back to the Island of One-Hit Wonders. We got a little Katrina in the Waves. We got some Rockwell, Dexy's Midnight Runners. We got a real Rick Nelson. We got some Seekers. The Temptations. These were all things that you recommended today.
Yes, I did.
So what should we start with, my friend?
Let's start off with Dexy Midnight Runners.
And Come On, Eileen.
Come On, Eileen.
This recorded in
1983. I believe. I'm not sure.
See, but nobody would have...
Yeah, see, I shouldn't have corrected myself because nobody cares. But this song brings back a lot of memories when I was in junior high school.
In Nam. I thought you were going to say in Nam.
No, I was in
junior. Taking out the gooks and the rice patties. How old were you? 6.
Yeah. I was in junior high school and I didn't even know who the hell I was.
You were in junior high school at 6?
I was.
You must have been some kind of brain. Hmm. No wonder we have a segment called Ask Parviz.
I remember making out with a girl in 6th grade.
No.
Yeah, I remember.
Is that right?
I remember very well. We were out in the football field, or not football field, out in the play yard, and she was on top of me. She held down my arms,
what?
And she started making out with me, and I just remember vividly that moment of just not caring, just making out with a girl at sixth grade. Yeah.
Was that the first time that you
First time was second grade.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, second grade.
What
I had
can you do with second grade?
Not much,
yeah,
but
really.
We were making out like nobody's business.
When you
business.
Say making out, you mean like macking?
Mouth to mouth, second grade. No kidding, I'm not kidding.
Oh, second grade.
Second grade, that's 7 years old. That's 8 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was heavy into the chicks.
And then not again until your 20s.
Exactly.
All right.
I think because I got man boobs. All right, let's do it. Texas Midnight Runners.
Who?
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Didn't you say Texas Midnight
Runners? I did. I want to hear the song.
All right. We'll play a little tunage.
Come On, Eileen.
All right. We'll play a little tunage.
Listen for the violin.
We'll play a little tunage. Nothing? You got no more interruptions?
None at all. Except this one. Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
All right, we'll play a little tunage. We'll come back on the other side and pick up this nonsense. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali. We're both inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
In every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Wow. Welcome back. We're 22 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That is the webpage. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That is the email address. Also, we've got Parviz@schnauzerlogic.com for those of you who want to ask questions to Parviz. And we've got a phone number. It is area code 206-666-6540. That's 206-666-6540. 206-666-6540. 206-666-6540. Out of town, call collect.
This music we're hearing this very second right now, where's that from?
This little white computer that's in front of here.
Oh, that's it. Where's this guitar riff from?
I don't know. It's a music bed.
Oh.
If you look on the blog at www.schnauzerlogic.com, the very first week, if you go all the way back in the annals, I said annals.
I couldn't. I went down, and it only stopped at, I think, 8
or 9.
Yeah,
because you go to the archive up in the upper left-hand corner of the page.
Oh. Oh, you're talking about actually listening to the show on the MP3?
No.
Oh, there's an archive button?
Yeah, if you go to the top of the page.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think, you know what's so interesting? It's not just you. Well, yeah, it kind of is. But I'm going to say that it's everybody, just not to make you feel especially bad.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Exactly. But if a lot of people ask me questions about the show, you know, that banner at the top of the Schnauzer Logic page.
With your beautiful face on it.
Has all of the, it's only half a face. It has only, because the other half is like, I'm not an animal.
I am a human being.
I am not an animal.
That's nice. Let's make fun of John Mayer.
Elephant, my friend.
Yeah, what was his name? John Hancock?
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Yeah, it was John Mayer, who's now dating...
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson, who's married to Homer Simpson, who's...
has a son named Bart, who's a female voice, who her name is...
Kevin Bacon. Exactly. That's all. Wait. Okay. Take two. Exactly.
All right, so you're
we'll
gonna
fix that in post.
Right, so you're gonna point out how dumb I am with the computer.
No, I wasn't gonna point out how dumb you are, but I think it's so interesting. People ask those kind of questions, and no, it's not a dumb thing. It's user interface. You know, I've been working on and off for Apple now for over 10 years, mm-hmm. right? As an attorney and engineering manager, I did product marketing there for a while. I've had a bunch of different jobs in the company, and one of the things that I worked on was user interface. Right, when you've got a computer, all that stuff just doesn't show up on the screen randomly. It's supposed to be in a place where your eye is either naturally drawn towards it, okay. or it makes sense. And if you want to see the opposite of that, go look at some of the mashups on MySpace, right? People actually have contests to make the ugliest, most impossible MySpace pages, right? A friend of mine, Sherry, you know Sherry, who's here with us every week or every few weeks. Sherry's daughter, Marisa, has a MySpace webpage that is, you can't navigate through it. It is, not only is it ugly, but there's so much crap on it, it doesn't load. And apparently people do this on purpose. Like they try to make,
confusing,
awful webpages. Pages, but that was not my plan when I did the Schnauzer Logic page. It's supposed to be very simple, very clean, very elegant. And yet, even though there's buttons that say MP3 and donate, and there's a button that says help, there's a button that says help.
Yeah, I think I pressed it once.
Exactly. Where it's got a question mark next to it. People write to me and they go, how do I find out what, and I go, there's a button that says help.
Yeah.
This is not a request, okay? No one has ever donated a penny to the show. Not one penny to the show. And I'm not looking for donations, but there's a donation button there. No one has ever pushed the donation button and go, oh, I made a mistake. Sorry. It's not like it's fucking quicksand. You know what I mean?
They're afraid it's going to go right to their credit card.
I guess. Like somehow I would know. And so it's very, very weird. Anyhow, if you look at the webpage. So two things. First of all, Zona Vista. The story behind Zona Vista. We'll do it really, really quickly here. Zona Vista is a made up word. I understand that it may be a word now in other languages and some companies have sort of taken it over. But when I made up Zona Vista in 2001, in the spring of 2001,
wow.
I couldn't find any word called Zona Vista. I did some web searching for it. And it was supposed to be the name of the show that I did on KSCO Radio. It was the morning show. It was a new show. They wanted to call it the KSCO Morning Cafe or, Eat Me with KSCO or something
nice.
Like that. And I thought, no, I don't think so because that's going to attract the wrong kind of people.
Muffin ass.
Exactly. What?
Muffin. So, it's a breakfast food.
Okay. I thought you said muffin-esque. ask Wesco. That's my you do
with Sean. Don,
you, and Don Knotts.
Andy,
ask Wesco. We should take us on the road. We got to go back to open mics again. I'm telling you, my friend, that's all we're waiting for. We're missing it. Thank you very much. We'll be here all week long. So I thought, well, let me make up a name of a show that's kind of easy to remember. And, of course, Zona Vista was the name I came up with. I came up with a bunch of them. But Zona Vista comes from two parts, both Latin roots. The first was in sonos, which is sound, the Latin word for sound, which is where the Sony name came from, right? That's the root of sound. And vista is an expanse, right? One of the definitions of a vista is this broad expanse where you see things that you haven't seen anywhere else, right? It gives you a view that you can't get anywhere else. So Zona Vista was supposed to be the name of a show where you would hear things that you wouldn't be able to hear anywhere else.
Very nice.
That was it. Thank you. You understood that. When I said this to the people at KSCO, they looked at me with the look that a poodle gives you when you're trying to explain, you know, microeconomics to it. You know, that kind of look. And they go, can we call it KSCO Coffee Cafe? I go, no, well, you need another name. We don't. And that's the thing about John Cleese, non-productive garbage, right? You know, non-creative garbage. It's like, well, we don't like that. Come up with something else. Be funny. Make us laugh, Jew boy. You know, something else. And so Airplay was my second choice.
Airplay is a good name.
And Airplay was fine, and that was actually cribbed from the title of a song. I was going to use the song Airplay for my opening music, and as it turned out, I didn't like the song, but I liked the name, so I copied it. So that's where Airplay came from. But I liked Zona Vista so much, I figured I'm just going to keep using that as a greeting.
Yes.
So we repurposed it in the parlance of our time here in the Silicon
Valley.
It
works well as a greeting.
Zona Vista, my friend.
Zona Vista, my friend.
Zona Vista. It has that kind of continental sound to it.
It does. Very Italian.
Yes. It could be Italian, could be Greek, could be...
And the funny thing is every time you say Zona Vista, my friends, Zona Vista, my friends, Zona Vista, my friends, your arm goes up like you're flipping a pizza. That is also Italian.
Very Italian.
Yes.
All right. There you go. So I want to do a little quick update on the whole SaveMSNBC.com
thing. Oh, thank you.
So we'll do a little update on that. Let's see. I think what we'll do is we'll do a quick update while we start the music. That's what we'll do here. We're starting the music and do a little quick update on the Save MSNBC on XM thing. And that'll let it together nicely. I told you, I'm not on my game today.
Yes, you are.
No.
I've got to say this right now. Do you mind if I just have a little moment here? Do you mind?
Knock yourself out, dude.
Okay, all right. I got to say this to you. You are so freaking hard on yourself. All right? I don't know what game you're playing, but you are on your game. How do you know you're not on your game? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know you're not on your game?
Because
it doesn't make sense. Because everybody that listens to the show that I speak to, sometimes thinks you're hilarious, sometimes thinks it was okay. And the times you think it's okay, you probably thought it was a great show. Times you think it was hilarious, you probably... Yeah.
Enough about me. Save MSNBC on XM.com. This is a website that I started.
Last week we had 400 write-ins on the MSNBC, right? 450?
About 400, yeah.
This week, 650.
675.
Awesome.
But they pulled the channel on Monday.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
What happened to that lady last week who sent you an email that said, I'm an employee, blah, blah,
so
blah.
So she turned out to be an employee. She wound up giving me the name of the vice president of communications for MSNBC. He sent me an email.
Ooh.
Jeremy Gaines is his name. It's up on the website. It's save MSNBC on XM.com.
Okay.
I posted that as a press release. It now made it onto the internet.
Ooh.
And that was the first time that people started mentioning my name on the internet. And one of the sites, somebody said, oh, Robin Diane Goldstein, she's fucking hilarious.
Oh, very
which
cool.
I thought was pretty cool. So about 675 signatures so far. They pulled the channel, but I'm going to send off a mailing today, a mass mailing to everybody, because apparently XM has gotten way more publicity about this than they expected. And these are all people who are articulate because they listen to a news station. This is not people who are listening to Headbangers Music like, dude, right? There's no alternative. These are all people who are looking for political commentary. So whether you agree with their politics or not, doesn't really matter whether they're right or left or you'd really agree with them, they're all fairly articulate. And so most of them have been able to say, listen, we're in the middle of an election season. It's the midterm elections with what's going on with the fifth anniversary of 9/11, which we can talk about,
right,
with what's going on with the president. And Donald Rumsfeld now saying that if you don't agree with the administration, you're an appeaser, and comparing them to Nazi sympathizers. I mean, talk about amping up the, you know, as you know, in the early days of the internet, people realized that most discussions in news groups eventually boiled down to you're a faggot, well, you're a Nazi, you know, and that's how these things ended. And so people came up with rules, which is like, how long does it take before a discussion devolves into you're a faggot, you're a Nazi? And that sort of measures the health of a particular discussion. Well, the president apparently has already gone there. You're a faggot came out last year. Now it's you're a Nazi. So, so anyhow, I'm sure that anyone who listens to this particular show has already been to the website and signed the petition. But we now have the name and director, the name and phone number of the program director for XM, who said, "Hey, listen, you know, we're just hearing about this for the first time. Like, this is fucking brand new news to them."
Yeah, right.
And of course, what's interesting is the conspiracy theorists are already saying, "Well, maybe they're pulling this off because it's kind of liberal biased, and Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, has a controlling interest in XM satellite radio." It's all really interesting stuff. It's been taking too much of my time. But what I'm gonna do, what I've been able to do is kind of siphon some of the listeners to at least, you know, sample, if you will.
Uh-huh.
A little soupçon of Schnauzer logic. Not that it'll be everyone's cup of tea, or if you're in China. Ding 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 ding. All right, what should we play as our next song? We're gonna take another break here.
What? You're just getting winded.
It's break. I am winded. little Dexy's Midnight Runners?
No, we did that already.
All right.
Can I just say about Dexy's Midnight Runners? That guy's got a great voice.
Okay.
All right.
33 seconds, my friend. Quick, name one.
Of? Oh, Garden Party. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Rick Nelson.
One of my favorite artists of all time,
all
Rick
right.
Nelson.
We'll be back on the other side.
Oh, oh shit.
Soda. Fuck, we're out of here. Stay tuned.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends, a chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, learn my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. And people came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. And over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's alright now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da. Them all the old songs, thought that's why they came. No one heard the music, we didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs to me. And I sang a song about a honky tonk, it was time to leave. But it's all right now, learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da, la da da da, la da da da. Someone opened up a closet door, and out stepped Johnny B. Goode, playing guitar like a ring and a bell, and looking like you should. If you gotta play at garden parties, I wish you a lot of luck. But if Memories were all I sang. I'd rather drive a truck, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da. And it's all right now. Yeah. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
Yep, road stories of the real highway comics. How you doing? I'm Brian Cox. And you know, I'm kind of doing my own little survey here right now to find out where you're listening from. So if you can send me an email, that'd be great. Here's my email address, info@coxmarketing.ca. info@coxmarketing.ca. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Well, let's get on with this story. Here's one that was told to me by a comic named Big Daddy Taz. He was sent to Northern Canada to do a show in a small town. And this was a really small town. It was so small. How small was it? It was so small, the Dairy Queen was a guy in high heels. Ah, come on, that's comedy gold. Well, maybe comedy old for sure. But I have to say, Taz got to the town, he found the hotel and bar, thought he'd check in early, about 4 o'clock. Yep, okay, there he is. The hotel, my friends, had seen better days. Like in about 1812, it was spanky new. Taz checked in, found out his room was right over the bar. Yeah, which means if you're on the road, you know exactly what that means. DJ banging the tunes out, glasses breaking, people talking. It would be another late night. Taz asked the owner to wake him up because he wanted to have a little bit of a nap. Wake him up about 7 o'clock because there's, you know, no phone in the room so he could get, you know, get ready for the show. A resounding yes from the owner. And he went on to tell Taz that the whole town was coming out for tonight because everybody was looking forward to it. They don't get much entertainment there or something. Big Daddy Taz went up to his room, which consisted of a sink, a tub, you know, the old iron kind with the legs and that type of thing, and a V-shaped bed. The 220-pound comic fell asleep. He wakes up to a frantic banging on the door. The owner yelling, "Hey, I'm sorry, I forgot to wake you. I'm not used to people staying here. It's a hotel. It's 8:45. Taz jumped up from the bed. He was never late for a show in his life. This wasn't going to be the first time. He ran into the bathroom, turned on the rust-colored water for a quick bath, then went and laid his clothes out for the show. Literally ran back to the bathroom, jumped into the tub, and all of a sudden Taz could hear creaking, moaning, sounds of boards cracking. The tub in which he was sitting started to plummet through the floor. He was hanging on for dear life. It crashed and landed on the floor below. Taz raised his head, looked around. He was sitting center stage in a bathtub, water spewing everywhere. The DJ started to play Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath. It was 8:59. People thought it was part of the show. Taz grabbed a bar towel, which was thrown to him, and, well, put it in a strategic place. He did the show, rocked the room. People wanted him to come back and that type of thing. Anyway, he didn't tell me what he was wearing, so, you know, you kind of have to wonder. Also wonder if it was a clean or dirty show. You never know. That's it for Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox. Thank you.
Welcome back. We're 42 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Fatali.
Fatali. Son of Easter, Robin.
So I spilled a part of a can of soda.
Right before the break, right before
right,
the song.
Right as we were going into that break there.
Yeah.
And you said, you pantomimed to me, you want me to get you a paper towel? It's like, yes, please. You came back with a single square. Like you're Rosie from the Bounty commercials. But
which
Rosie!
Tells me, which tells me a lot about your bathroom visits. If you need a lot, a paper. I'm just a one square
guy. I use an entire tree on my ass every time I go to the bathroom. I am personally deforesting as much of the South America as possible. Sometimes I have an extra order of beans. I like to call them frijoles.
It frees my holes.
All right, I'll give it to you. All right. Thank you very much for bringing me a single sheet of paper.
You're very welcome.
All right. So you were talking to me before the show today about Katie Couric.
Yes.
And
what a tragedy that was.
What do you mean?
Her debut on...
So she debuted.
Last night, I believe.
And I was talking today to our good friend, Jason Nathanson, and I said to him, are you going to do the show this week? And he said, well, I really, I'm not sure that I'm going to have anything to talk about. And I go, well, of course, you're a man of the people. You're our man in L.A. First of all, you've got your finger on the vein and the pulse of the throbbing member of L.A.'s late night jet set, okay?
What's a late night jet set?
About 4:50.
Okay. That's a big member.
Yeah, really. What's a what's a Hanway?
Same thing as a Jetway.
All right. That's number one. I said number two, it gives us a chance to make fun of you. So you gotta be here on the show. And he said, all right, fine. So without further ado.
Well, he sneaks around the world from India to Carolina. Sticky fingered Filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van?
Son of Easter, Jason Nathanson.
Can we get rid of both of those songs by now?
Well, he sits around at home in his dirty underwear, and he watches the TV with remotes.
That's more like reality. What's going on?
And he maybe leaves the house by 5 or 5:30.
Jason, are you still out of work?
Yeah, still out of work. Still looking.
Oh my
still
gosh! Looking. Have you been to any more game shows?
No, I haven't been to any more game shows. Hmm. They're hard to actually come by.
How are you? Well, especially in the last week, right? It was a big holiday. What'd you do for your holiday weekend? Big Labor Day weekend.
Just hung out with some friends. Took a little trip down to San Diego, and
you drink tequila?
No, there was no tequila drinking going on. No? There was drinking of other substances. Though.
Do you like tequila?
I actually don't like tequila at all.
Have you ever had tequila?
I have had tequila. Way too much of it in my time.
You don't like tequila?
No.
Okay. The dog bit me in my vagina.
Just a little peach.
Just a little peach in my vagina.
Jason, we saw a video before we got on the air of this lady that got...
On his penis.
About this lady's dog who would bite her in the vagina. And so Robin's on this kick about vaginas.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. So we were talking a little bit more, and you watched, being an astute observer of the news media, you actually watched Katie Couric last night.
Of course I did. Well, how couldn't I? You didn't?
I watched it on the TiVo today, but only after the fact. You watched it live and up close.
Yes, I did.
Well, this is a big deal. Why do you think this was such a big deal?
It's a big deal because, well, I mean, historically, we've never had in the past 2-3 years such a switch in main news anchors before. So this kind of caps off for all the major networks, them setting into place finally a major news anchor. And Katie Couric, you know, being a woman and coming from the Today Show, although See, a lot's been made that she's coming from the Today Show and she doesn't have this hard news background. But in the beginning of her career, she did have a pretty hard news background. She was a Washington correspondent for NBC News before the Today Show. And so I think she's pretty qualified to step into that seat. Plus, she's interviewed countless newsmakers and politicians and things like that over her career. So I don't necessarily think it's stupid choice a lot of people do, or the politically correct choice by putting a woman in there. But, you know, I feel bad for her because a lot of people are saying that, you know, because there's been a lot of critique on, you know, how she looks and what she was going to wear and stuff like that. And in my opinion, that's just not fair because you didn't get that from Charles Gibson's first day on the air, Brian Williams, you know, so it's unfair to her.
Well, that part of it I will agree to, but here's I want to go back to something you said just a second ago, and that is that she was qualified, and I thought you were going to say she's qualified to sit in front of a camera and read a teleprompter, that's all they really do in this country. We've given news anchors the status of not only celebrity, but also as though they're great intellects. You know, in the UK, you probably know this very, very well. In the UK, they're just called news readers. And
right.
they're not imbued with any kind of special powers. You know, they can't see through solid metal. You know, they can't, you know, take off other people's clothes with their minds. Well, some of them can.
All buildings in a single bound, yeah, all
exactly,
that kind of.
Exactly. Now, you've worked in the news, and so, now, we had Doug, okay, for example, we had Doug Sovereign on a few weeks ago. Doug is a reporter for KCBS.
Mm-hmm.
He's done national stories. He's traveled all over the world. Doug is someone who has the chops. I mean, I give him credibility and also credence for being a reporter because he actually goes out and gets the story. He has to build contacts and get the story. But the person who sits behind the teleprompter, all they do is have to look good.
Well, that's another good point. And one that I noticed right away when watching last night, it was no big deal. It was Katie Kirk came out there, she read the news. You know, so what? She not much as
I could read the
position.
News.
Yeah.
You could read the news.
You don't have to be... Well,
Parviz... Okay. You could read the news.
But that's another good point, and it's something I've seen in radio a lot, is the news anchors on different stations, they get the most money, and they get the better contracts, but really, it's the reporters that go out and report every day that have the tough jobs. The news readers just sit in there, and they read what's written for them.
And in fact, the woman who was with the Taliban... Right, who did the first special report last night?
Laura Logan, yes.
Okay, Laura Logan, not to be confused with Lois Lane or Lana Lang, both girlfriends
Correct.
Of Superman. She really, I think, distinguished herself with a fairly gutsy report and a fairly insightful analysis, and had a little bit of context to provide the whole thing in. And then she threw it back to Katie, who really felt like a lightweight. I'm not saying she is a lightweight, but it felt like a lightweight thing to do to throw back to her. There was no gravitas there.
That's kind of a good point. I think there were definitely some things at play in having Laura Logan do one of the first reports, is that it took some of the pressure off Katie and kind of the woman thing, and it showcased maybe a younger, prettier person, so maybe it would take some of the attention off the female aspect of having a female news anchor. But Laura is definitely a very good reporter and has been for a while, and she does regular hits on 60 Minutes.
You think the female thing really makes any difference whatsoever?
I think it makes a difference. Only because it's something that we obsess on in this country. I mean, that's the only difference. And then you get, you know, shots of kids' legs, and that's what's... If you go on the blogs today, that's pretty much no story, even in the Washington Post and the New York Times, no story or critique failed to mention she was wearing and that there were several shots of her legs. So, I mean, that's something that we're obsessed on, or maybe the critics and the news hounds are obsessed on, but it's not something that really matters at all in the grand scheme of things.
Let me ask you another question, though, because a lot of effort is being put into how the three major networks are going to retool the news, as you said, sort of the big heads of Mount Rushmore, right? The Jennings and
right,
the Brokaw
sure.
and the Rather are gone, and so they've replaced them. But isn't network news, isn't the news on ABC, NBC, CBS, hasn't that really become irrelevant in this time of, you know, initially 24-hour cable news networks, right? We've got CNN, we've got Fox, we have MSNBC, and as you said yourself, the blogosphere is a constant, not just up to the minute, it's an up to the second source of news right now.
Yeah, I mean, the network news, the appointment watching network news of old, that's gone. In most of the big cities, if you look at, you know, along the coast, and a lot of where, I mean, a lot of people would say loose state support came for Kerry in the 2004 election. Those cities, which are the major cities, don't watch the news like the rest, but the rest of the country does watch the news. So it is important to them. They don't sit there and watch MSNBC and Fox all the time, although they do watch Fox a little more. But if you looked at the ratings for last night, the ratings were good, and they were definitely, they scored high for CBS. But if you look at, I think the LA area had like a 5.4 share, and or a 4.8, and I think a 5.4 in New York, which are relatively low numbers compared to, you know, what everybody's watching at that
time.
Well,
who can be home and watch television at, was it 5:30?
6:30 here in Los Angeles is when
she was on there. Earlier here in the North Bay. I think she was on at 5:30 here, I think.
And that's the thing. She's not doing a live broadcast. She's doing a 3-hour delay.
Right, which she taped 3 hours earlier.
Right, so it's like, it's not even
fresh. It's already stale.
Yeah, so...
It's already stale, and unless you're someone who works in a trade or, you know, gets up at, you know, time to make the donuts, right? So you get up at sort of 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't know anyone who's home, even by 6 o'clock. I mean, 5:30, 6 o'clock, maybe you're just starting to think about leaving work. So is what you're saying that network news is really directed to people who have a different socioeconomic class?
Possibly. It's directed to people, I mean, and I think studies will show in the major cities, people do work longer. They're not home at that appointment viewing time of 5:30 or 6:30. And maybe in the middle of the country where people have more typical 9-to-5 jobs and they're more of a working class, they are home in time. And while dinner's being prepared or even being eaten, the family does sit around and maybe the father or the mother, one person has one eye on the news to kind of watch what's going on. But I also think people are a lot more interested in their local news, and they'll watch that with a little more attention to see what's going on, you know, for the weather and local crime stories and things like that. But the importance of the national news really isn't that important anymore. And as was kind of seen by yesterday's selection of stories, Laura Logan's story was nothing. It was an interesting report, but it wasn't really
news.
Right, it wasn't day to day news.
Would you agree? I didn't mean to interrupt you. Would you agree that there was really very little news last night?
There was very little, and it was one of those you know, what they call slow news days. And that'll be the real test to see what happens when something does break more closer to when Katie does go on for a live report. And I haven't heard anything about this, but they'll probably do what Brian Williams does is by the time it does get to the West Coast, they'll update a story or two if something else has changed. So we will see more current stuff by the time we get the news out here.
How can you call... Wait, I'm going to interrupt you one more time. How can you call it a slow news day when, in fact, yesterday the president suggested in a speech, right, he reiterated that people who don't support the administration are tantamount to Nazi sympathizers and that Al-Qaeda is going to be beginning this media war, and so effectively setting the stage for any report which is critical of the administration is, in fact, in support of Al-Qaeda. And Olbermann, who I personally like, did a 5-minute a monologue. I mean, he did an Edward R. Murrow-esque editorial in the middle of his show yesterday. There was a chance for Carrick to show that she had, you know, some cojones, some chutzpah, right? Something with a ch sound in front of it. I don't care what. And instead, she went with the coffee clutch, you know, what's on your mind? You know, they had the guy from Fast Food Nation or Morgan Spurlock on.
Right.
It was a bunch of crap.
Well, they did do a story on Bush's speech, and then she did talk to Thomas Friedman, I think it was, about...
That's true.
You know, general reaction about that. So that was a little part of it, but, you know, for 30 minutes, that's not the story that the country is really talking about. And I would also hesitate to say that a speech that Bush gives, which is a speech that he's given before, although he's ramping up the rhetoric now... It's not necessarily news. It's something the president said. And for a show like hers, you can't really go into, you know, he said, she said, and get opinionated on it, because that's not the function necessarily of the nightly news. So I think time will tell on whether or not this new format will work. I did notice they had a lot of stuff going on. They had a couple of, you know, the more newsy stories, and then they just threw in a lot of bullshit, basically, with the pictures of Surrey being released. And you notice that they showed the pictures of they showed pictures of a prince that...
Yes, Bonnie Prince Charlie was a baby Prince Charles.
Yeah, to show that, hey, this isn't tabloid. CBS News has done this before, so, you know, we can show pictures of Surrey and feel like we're...
That's right, because the Prince of England, who will eventually become the King of England, is the same as the illegitimate child, because they haven't been married yet, anybody remember
right.
that, of Tom Cruise and
it's
Katie Watt Holmes.
I mean,
what?
It's kind of the same. Those are our princes and princesses.
No.
Our royalty in this
Please.
Country. And who the hell cares about Prince Charles? I mean, because what the hell does he do anyway? He sits around and spends his mom's money and waits till she dies. So, you know, what effect does he really have anyway?
No, you don't mean that.
Yeah, kind of.
He could be listening right now.
That's not my point. The prince is a very educated guy who runs the Prince's Charitable Trust in the UK, which does amazing charitable works.
Some could argue Tom Cruise does, too. I mean, I imagine he does some charitable work, right? I would hope. I don't know if that's the case or not. But
yeah, I just make shit up. That's what Parviz does. Well, I'm gonna call you to task on that, and also bring you back to something you said a week ago, because it's continued to bother me, and that is, do you really think I'm fat? No, you had talked a few weeks ago about, I think you had said, I'm putting you on the spot here. We didn't talk about this before the show, but I'm putting you on the spot here, and I'm gonna ask Parviz to jump in too, just so that he doesn't completely fall asleep during this conversation, because I see him beginning to he's zoning out there. He's looking at his watch. Realize he doesn't have a watch. He's trying to say, does this look like, you think this is basal cell carcinoma or just a, oh no, it's a flake from lunch. Okay. It peeled off. It's fine. Okay. You had said a few weeks ago when we were talking that you were okay with the government wiretapping phone calls. And I may be misquoting you here, but that's okay. That's in purpose of the story that I want to do.
Sure.
And one of the things that occurred to me was that position is not a unique position. I think people who are sort of under the age of maybe even 35 are okay with a greater amount of government intrusion into our daily lives, almost like that's an expectation. Have you thought more about that yourself? Do you find that that's the case?
I just stand by that. I mean, it all comes down to, you have to trust the government, and I definitely understand in this day and age a lot of people don't, with good reason. So if you give the government this kind of power now, who's to say what they're going to exploit it for years to come, and when the next generation is in power, how they're going to use the powers that we granted them this time around. And you know, that could get scary, but for me, I mean, we're definitely, I think we have to realize we're in a different time now than we were, you know, even 10 years ago. And we need to take measures.
I'm going to just drill down a little bit on that, because I certainly hear people say that, but I'm trying to understand that in a significant way. How is the time different today than it was?
We need different intelligence today. We need to be monitoring more groups, more wider, varied groups in this country and without this country, because we learned 5 years ago that there are people who want to do us harm.
Well, during the Cold War, we had all of the Soviet Axis powers that we needed to worry about, right? We had the Russians, and we had the Czechs, and we had the Yugoslavs, and of course, there was the folks in China, and we've always had to worry about the Koreans and the Vietnamese and the Cambodians and the Laotians. Down in South America, there was always the junta, right, and the various communist freedom fighters, and there's always been Castro in our own backyard. It feels to me like we've simply substituted one set of ethnic groups and religions, because I think most of them were Catholic, for another set. No, but seriously, we've decided we can't go after the Catholic terrorists anymore. Now we're going to go after the Islamic terrorists. I mean,
the major distinction between all those groups that you just mentioned and where we are today is that none of them ever attacked us on our own soil. I mean, that's the major, and you can't just push that aside. because it's true. And so you have this air of fear and terror in this country among a lot of people. And a lot of the tactics that we used to use covertly and secretly have come to light, where I think a lot of people would have just been happy just thinking, okay, we'll let the government do what the government does, and there's certain things we don't want to know about, but we understand that that's what they have to do. And now, because there has been such partisanship, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but because you have the Republicans doing it one way and the Democrats absolutely hating them and wanting to expose everything, they've brought a lot of things out into the light. And again, that's not necessarily a good or bad thing, but that's where we are. So we have a lot of things, a lot of programs in like the secret jails and, you know, the CIA detention centers and stuff, that's all out in the open, where before it was just kind of like a wink, wink, nod, nod. It exists, but we don't really want to know about it. But now we have to face it, and so we have to do something about it. We've changed today.
Do you agree with the statement that the ends justifies the means?
I mean, that's case specific. And sometimes...
Wow.
I mean, sometimes
okay, I'll give you my opinion. Never.
Never.
Never. The ends never justifies the means. Never. That's so interesting to me. And I'm wondering if this is sort of an age-specific thing. I'm going to drag you into this conversation.
All right.
Have you thought about that as a philosophical question? Do the ends ever justify the means?
Never.
Well, that's because I just said that. Now you're just copying me.
No, I'm in this room with you, so yeah. I have to agree with you.
No, you don't.
No.
You know that. Are you listening to what Jason's saying? I mean, he's making some cogent points.
Yes. Just go on.
This is not of interest to you.
No, it's not that it's not of interest to me. I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Oh, great.
You're just
a listener. He's pulled out his pipe. He's tamping down the tobacco there. It's not, you know, it's funny because I wonder whether we have been in a situation where the government has been scaring the people for so long that we've now become kind of immune to this, and maybe this is a generational kind of thing. Do you find that the opinion that you have is shared by those friends of yours who are sort of in the same age cohort?
I think they're shared by some of them. I think it depends on where you lie politically. And some people just want to go along with the Democrats and, you know, just rile things up. I think it would be a very...
You think that's what I'm doing? You think I just want to rile things up? That's why I'm...
No, not at all. But I think it would be a very interesting situation if Clinton or another, or Gore even, was still in power. And we got this stuff today, whether or not we would be seeing all this distrust of government or, you know, wanting to get these secrets out in the open. Because I think I kind of agree a little bit with Jack Nicholson when he said in A Few Good Men, you know, you want me on this wall, you need me on this wall. And we do. Government is on that wall, and we need them there, but we don't always want to know what they're doing. But we need them. We need them to protect us sometimes. And the way they need to protect us sometimes, unfortunately, isn't in a way that society wants to come to grips with.
Yeah. See, I... Okay. Well...
It's tough. I mean, there's certain things, you know, we should have done in World War II that we weren't ready to do. We could have bombed concentration camps. We had pictures of planes that flew over concentration camps. And by killing the 5,000 or 10,000 people that were in the camps, we would have ended that camp, but we weren't ready to do that. And, you know, that's a tough moral decision that you have to make. And do we make the right decision? Maybe, maybe not. But it's some people, and I think there's an argument there that said, you know, if you would have bombed the camp then, it would have been the end of that camp, and it wouldn't have been able to go on to kill another million people. So, you know, that's why we elect people to make these decisions. And I think being unhappy with these people and voicing our concern is definitely a good thing. But we elect them to make these decisions, and sometimes we've got to stick by them, for better or for worse, unfortunately.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I certainly, you sound like you've thought about this.
Yeah. I've had time.
Did you feel this way when you worked for Ray Taliaferro? Or is this...
My views are ever evolving. I've never been, you know, one side. That's the beauty of working on extreme kind of right talk show and an extreme left talk show. I've gotten to see both sides and kind of form my view somewhere in the middle.
Well, I will. Yeah, all right. And John, our good friend John, does he agree with you on all of this?
No, he's probably a little more
rational
on the liberal side, I think, of these things. He's probably a little more informed than I am, though, too.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, wow. See, and you told me that you thought you had nothing to add to today's show.
Yeah, I guess.
That was me.
I entertained part of these, I guess.
He was fascinated.
I am. I'm fascinated. What I don't understand is terrorism will never end. There will always be a form of terrorism. So if the government's trying to scare us, it's just... And you know what? It works. You were saying earlier that it doesn't work, that we're getting bored or we're getting jaded by all these scares. Every time a bomb goes off in London or something like that, they just throw out that whole, you got to be alert. You got to be... We found gel in somebody's shoes. Now we got to take off everybody's shoes.
I know, but anyone who's sort of old enough remembers the bombings that went on in Northern Ireland during the heyday of the IRA and the... I mean, we sort of think of ourselves as being the center of the universe, and I suppose in some ways, you know, economically, the United States is. But in Israel, bombs going off in public places, that's fairly fucking commonplace.
Well, but
in Israel.
And who is the most covert and who does the most ethically questionable things of any government?
Well, it'll
probably have to be Israel.
All right. Well, but
nobody will argue with their success to defend themselves.
I would disagree with you, my friend. I think that Israel has lost the moral high ground. I think that they had taken the moral high ground, and while they may have engaged in things which were morally questionable, I think people did in fact make those, they asked those questions. What's gone on now with Lebanon is losing a lot of that kind of support, and that's exactly my point. It's a slippery slope. That's why I don't think the ends justifies the means, because if you say to me, well, in this one particular case, the end justifies the means, then I say to you, well, how do you distinguish case A from case B? And you'll say to me, maybe I can't. And then you talk about case B to case C. That's why I'm an absolutist on these kinds of things, because I think ultimately how you do anything is how you do everything. It's not possible to be a moral relativist, if you will, when it comes to these kinds of issues. And it's not a liberal thing, conservative thing. I think sunshine is the best disinfectant. Anyone who's spent any fucking time in government understands that the people who are involved in government are all the most evil, fucked up, corrupt people, because these are people who want power. So those are the people I trust the least. Anyone who doesn't want to run for government, let me ask Parviz, would you ever run for political office?
No.
I would vote for you. That's my point. All right, I'm sticking to it. Hey, thank you.
Hey, no problem.
You be down in Los Angeles?
I am here, yes.
You'd be there through the weekend?
I will be here.
Well, I think I'm heading down on Friday.
Bring your sweat rag.
Is it hot? It's hot?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Supposed to cool off a little bit this weekend.
All right. Well, maybe I'll have a chance to see you, and we'll be able to do a little live remote.
Sounds
into
good.
into the Schnauzer phone line. Area code 206-666-6540.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Bye-bye. All right. What do you think?
I think before 2001, nobody would have even imagined us being attacked. Before 2001, because the last time we were attacked was in 1941.
No. The blind sheikh tried to blow up the World Trade Center a few years earlier.
95, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Okay, you're right. That was, that's right. But that didn't get nearly as much, I don't think people, I think it's still fresh in our minds, 2001, 9/11, that people are still scared.
Let's talk about 9/11 when we come back. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali. He's a Muslim, but we like him.
What? I'm not.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Hey there, Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping, but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly.
inside. Bring out all the love you hide. And oh, what a change that'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl. A reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shell.
A little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl. There's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide. And oh, what a change there'd be.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. 14 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. Parviz Vitali,
host buddy and pal.
Host buddy and Patali. Jason was okay. He was rocking.
Jason was good. Jason was on an agenda today.
No, I don't know if he was on an agenda, really.
No, but
he
was,
had an opinion.
Yeah, I know. He was very articulate.
He was very articulate about it. I love him. You know, I mean, Jason, I met Jason when I think he was 20 or 21. So it's very unusual, and I think I was probably 40. So I think I'm 20 years... I'm more than 20 years older than Jason. So I could be Jason's parent.
I saw it coming up.
I know. I could be Jason's parent. Fuck you.
What? It's either one or the other.
Well, we're both at the same time.
Then that's called a parent.
And that's very strange, I think, because I consider him to be a peer. Right, we met at KSCO, we met at the radio station, and so that's a very young way of thinking, right, because everything's always happening current, in, you know. But I have an experience of having lived through the 70s, right? I had friends who were in the draft, you know, for Vietnam. I mean, so that's a different way of looking at the world. So I think when you go through that, you don't trust the government. The government lied to the people in Vietnam.
Right.
They committed fraud on the government for Vietnam. And then we went from that period of time, which was Kennedy, right, who's still now considered a saint, almost canonized, and Johnson, who was so destroyed by the process that he didn't run for re-election. We then went into Nixon, who said that he had a secret plan to get us out of Vietnam. That was how he won. Nobody, I mean, people remember that if you're a political junkie, but people, Nixon campaigned on the idea that he had a secret plan to get us out of to get us out of Vietnam. And his secret plan apparently was to put more people in there, right? And then create more problems with and then invade Cambodia. And then he became so paranoid in his second term that he wound up getting involved in Watergate and then lying in front of Congress. So we go from Kennedy, then to we go to Johnson, then we go to Nixon. Those are three presidents that I don't have a lot of faith in because they lied to the American people and they killed Americans, right? We then go to Carter. I think he was fairly innocuous. I don't know how badly Jimmy Carter lied to us. So if I don't trust Jimmy Carter, it's only because I think he was incompetent in a lot of what he did, micromanaged situations. Bill Clinton, I don't trust, and I'm fairly loyal to his political point of view, but he didn't have the political integrity to stand by his decisions. He believed in affirmative action. He believed in gay marriage. He believed in gay rights. He believed in all of those things, and yet when push came to shove, he backed away from all of that stuff. So I don't trust him. And now we have Bush 2, who is sending more young Americans to die. Every time an American dies in Iraq, Not Afghanistan. I understand that we need to send troops around the world the way that we did in Lebanon, the way we did in Somalia. I understand that. But every time an American man or an American woman dies in Iraq, I trust our government just a little fucking less.
Yeah.
Because somebody died there. And that, to me, is the ultimate price to pay for trust. So how can you trust the government? I ask you.
I don't think you can ever trust the government. I don't think you can ever trust the government.
And you shouldn't. But here's what I think. The founding fathers of this country, I don't mean to be getting off on a roll here, but we'll get back talking about dick and pussy again.
Whoa. Pick one.
We've got Dick Cheney.
And Pussy Willow.
That was only on one channel. Wait, what? Where's the other channel? Is it not working? Hold on. Do you hear it in both sides of your headphones?
No, I just hear it in the left side.
You just hear it in one side?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, there it is. It's coming through on the other side.
All right.
Oh. Yo, it's
now it's weird. Now it's
it's drifting left to right.
We've broken this here.
Maybe it's the Pepsi.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hello.
Give me a gunshot.
Hello, one more time. Hello.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
This is like rewiring the plane while it's in flight. I know. Hold on. Wait. I like that. Hold on.
Kiss my ass!
Oh, yeah, baby. Kiss Here we go. Here we go. Right. Here we
Kiss
go.
Kiss my ass!
Oh, nope, one side on that one.
Bit. Here you go. Hold on.
Oh, that's shit. It's shit.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, that's shit. It's shit.
I'm getting static on one side.
I'm getting static on one side, too.
Huh.
All right. Well, we'll keep moving on with the show.
All right. So the government cannot be trusted.
And the way that you have controls is by having an educated populace. You have people that have the intelligence, the education to ask these kind of questions.
And I believe now more than ever, the populace is not educated.
Absolutely.
Now more than ever.
But you, my friend, we can't say that about you.
Why?
Because...
Tell me.
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Shifted.
Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl.
He's
not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him. The man who saves them all.
Seems like you're working.
When the toilet will not flush, and the odor makes you blush, and you cannot use the sink or shower stall, but then your learning and your art slowly start to fall.
Hello. We'll definitely have to cut this out.
Can give their sins to Jesus, but when their water freezes, then the plumber is the man who saves them all.
There it is.
We got something.
Now I know that
now
in
is.
One's youth, that beauty,
don't touch anything.
Should we back it up and start again?
Yeah.
To be what life was all
no,
about.
No, no, no. Let it go.
Let it go.
People need to hear the trauma that we go through. You can see people need to hear this.
All right. What are we talking about?
We are talking about channels. About me knowing everything.
Yes. Education. Tell me about it.
Well, in my job as a commercial plumber.
Now we're going to take another break. No. Road stories.
Road stories. Bright guys.
Crack me up. Funny stuff.
I started school yesterday.
Wow. Now you talked about this.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
For 5 years. Yesterday was a first day. Unfreaking real.
Really? How many people in the class?
Where 18.
Where's the class held?
It's on right across the street from where I work.
Okay.
It's in a big building where there's other classes going on as well.
Is it a school building?
I mean, do I give you an address?
No.
Okay, then where's it being
what
held?
What kind of building is it?
It's a big building where other classes are being held.
Is it a school
it's
building?
It's not a school building.
Is
it's
an office
it's,
building?
No, it's where they teach plumbing. It's a building where they teach plumbing.
Well, if it's not a school building, it's
the
it's
pipe
not an
training center.
okay, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm like,
when I go down to LA, I'm gonna go see Bob Lamb. I'm gonna find out how to deal with you.
Please, Bob,
right,
help
fine.
Me out.
Yeah.
And so yesterday's first day, and the 18 people that I met yesterday,
yes,
will be the same 18 people that I will turn out with in 5 years.
Now, did they say to you, look to the left of you, look to the right of you, one of you won't be here after 18 years?
No.
Okay.
No. No, they did not say that.
They said that when I went to school.
Okay, not me.
Yeah, that means a third of the people drop out.
Correct.
Okay.
Mathematics.
And they said to you what? Look to the left, look to the right. One of those people's going to sleep with your wife.
No, they did not say that either.
They didn't say that either? Okay.
So anyways, the 18
yes,
people
please,
that were in
you.
The class
yes?
are the same 18 people I will turn out with. Therefore, I will become friends with these 18 people.
That's wonderful.
You don't care.
Well, no, I just don't think all 18 are going to hang in there.
Oh, yeah, they will.
No, no.
Oh, absolutely.
5 years?
Absolutely.
What have you committed to for 5 years? Exactly. So tell me about these other people. Who are they? What are their names? What are their likes and dislikes? Do they have a little hope chest? Any
no.
women?
No. No women.
No, you look at me like, no. No women. No women. Woman can't handle
hey,
that.
No, if there was a woman
oxyacetylene
plumber. No, there are women plumbers out
month?
There. There are women plumber out there.
Plumbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Plummies.
I guess.
There are women out there.
Yeah.
If there ever was a woman plumber on the job with us guys...
Yes.
It would be amazing because
why?
We would be so freaking horny because it's like a cell. It's like a men's prison, this job. All you see are guys all day long, sweaty.
Fucking each other in the ass?
Exactly.
Is that what it's
in
like?
In one form or another, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
A lot of...
So you don't get a lot of work done is what you're saying. There's a lot of horseplay, as it was. A lot of hijinks.
A lot of hijinks. A lot of realizing how much crack is on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, no, there's no women in the class. 18 guys. They range from ages 18 to 45, 50.
Okay.
And they're just, we're all learning together.
So
some of them have been in the trade now for 5 months, 6 months.
Like you.
Uh-huh. And some have been in for a couple weeks.
All right. And second careers for some of these people, I'm guessing? If it's
yes.
somebody in their 50s, yeah?
Yes.
Second career. What did they do beforehand? Did you go around the room and say what
Yeah, like, some guy worked for the Mercury News,
like
which
platoon?
Was a local
yeah.
newspaper.
Okay.
And he saw the newspaper, actually, the release of Mercury News going down. It wasn't they were getting rid of jobs left and right.
Okay.
Because of the internet and whatnot. So
sure.
he said I had to get out of here, and he's actually 45 years old.
Wow.
He has a 6-year-old child.
Okay.
So
what'd you learn in your first day?
Actually, I learned they stressed not being late. They stressed tardiness.
Okay.
Yeah, they're real sticklers about that.
All right.
Yeah, if you're
That's
late,
not a problem for you.
No, it's not a problem for me.
Because you're coming from right across the street.
Well, no, I my class starts at 5:30 in the afternoon. I get off of work at 2:30.
So you have 3 hours to
walk,
get drunk, and then go over there. Can you drink before class?
Yeah. You can certainly drink before
All
class.
Right. So 5:30 to when? How many hours?
8:30.
So 3 hours twice a week?
Twice a week.
Holy shit.
After working an 8-hour day,
yeah.
you got to go to freaking class.
So what'd you learn the first 3 hours?
Not to be late.
No. Nobody,
I'm telling
three
you.
3 hours of not being late?
I'm not lying to you.
En español, muy tardes es no bueno.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
See?
Today at work, this is kind of off the subject, but not really, because it's about plumbing.
That's all right.
All right. Today at work, the Roach Coach came by about 9:30 in the morning.
Which would be what? What's a Roach Coach?
A Roach Coach.
I don't know what that... When I ask you what a Roach Coach is...
No, you didn't say coach.
Oh.
You said Roach Coach.
Okay. Well, what's a Roach Coach?
You said Roach Brian Cox. Yeah. No. Roach Coach is...
Roach Stories.
With Brian Cox.
Funny little bugs.
No, Roach Coach is a little thing, a little restaurant that comes, drives up to your little place, and you eat food.
Okay.
Yeah.
So little is the operative word.
Restaurant is not a good word.
Okay.
Okay. So anyways, the Roach Coach comes in.
All right.
And I usually get a soda and whatever, right? So I go and I get a soda. I'm paying for it.
Bring
and the
it
guy
from home, it's cheaper, you know.
It is. And the guy who takes your money, who lives in the Roach Coach.
I don't think he lives in the Roach.
Believe me, he lives in this Roach Coach.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So
not.
So it's not only a place of business; it's also his permanent dwelling.
That's where he pisses.
Okay.
I spoke to him in Spanish because he's a Spanish person. So I was talking to him in Spanish for a little while about like
Espanador.
I said, "Do you have change for 20?" He said, "No." Blah blah blah. Right. The guy behind me realized that I spoke Spanish About 30 minutes later, I get back to work. That guy behind me, who I've never met in my life, but I've worked with him for 5 months now,
see?
Comes up to me,
yes?
And he says to me in Spanish, "Where did you learn Spanish?"
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, he now you're a member of his, now you're a muchacho.
I'm all of a sudden I gotta be selling limes. But the is that wrong?
Yes.
We'll edit that part out.
Absolutely.
No, but my point is this. Do I not look Spanish to you?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Wow.
No.
Don't I have a Spanish accent when I speak?
No.
Not at all?
When you speak Spanish, you have a Spanish accent.
But when I speak English?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Wow.
No. No.
Well, I was surprised that he was shocked that I spoke Spanish.
Well, he's agreeing with me. Everything I've just said is consistent with his position, which is he's also surprised that you speak Spanish. Because you don't speak English with a Spanish accent. How come you're having so much trouble with this?
What do you mean trouble?
Are you sure you're not going to run for political office?
Not at all.
Okay. So is this now your best buddy?
No, okay. Not at all. I just met him today for the first time.
Are you
time.
Guys hermanos?
Hermanos? No. Somos, ¿cómo se dice? Somos gente que trabajan junto y cosas así. Pero no somos hermanos.
Okay.
Tú, cuando tú dices hermanos, tú lo dices como tú tienes mocos o algo en tu voz. ¿Entiendes?
Sí.
Sí. So cuando tú dices hermanos, tú estás hablando como estás haciendo un chiste de los entre nosotros. Y a algunas personas no les gustan. Pero a mí no me importa.
Sí.
Porque la familia que está afuera, que está oyendo esto ahorita, ellos no son a lo mejor español porque no saben que hablamos español.
Mm,
¿Entiendes?
¿Dónde está Iman? ¿Iman? Iman es...
El autobús es amarillo.
Iman es perro.
What's perro?
Perro.
That's a dog.
Yeah. Perro.
And what's Iman?
Iman.
Penis?
Iman es el nombre de perro.
Ah, tu perro se llama Iman.
Sí, sí, sí.
Ah.
So, ¿dónde está Iman?
Iman está en la calle.
¿Dónde está Iman? And then mamá says, cállate, papito.
Very good.
Thank you.
Cállate, papito.
Cállate, papito.
Hey, can I do Brian Cox road story in Spanish?
Sí.
Esto es the road stories and Brian Cox. I don't even know how to say road story. Let me think about it. It's calle, historia de calle. Esto es historia de calle de Brian Cox.
Taco. So, really, you learned nothing?
No, honestly, we didn't learn.
For 3 hours? They didn't,
correct.
Like, go through your toolbox? Or did they give you the syllabus for the next 5 years?
No, they gave us books.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, this guy, their teacher, we had like 2 hours to go, and he's like, any questions? Anybody have a question?
Bueller.
Bueller. And he said, okay, on Thursday, we're going to open up this book. But yesterday was absolutely nothing happened.
All right. So basically, this would have been a great story to tell us next week.
Wow, that kind of hurt.
It only kind of hurt.
No, it's a great story to tell because it's in the now. It's in the moment.
Yeah, but you got nothing.
I had something.
No, literally, you got nothing.
I explained to you that I met a guy today who spoke Spanish.
Yes, that in fact is what you have done. You explained to us that you met a guy today who speaks Spanish.
I am like a fountain to you. I am like a fountain to you. I'm giving you gifts.
That's what you explained.
And you grab the gifts.
That's what
and
you
give it to our audience.
Yes, you are the tree of...
Oh, we got a phone call. We got a phone call.
Taco Bell, maybe. All the rest, they sell tacos.
Schnauzer Logic.
Make a profit.
We need Hello. Tacos.
Hello.
Is Robin there?
Yes, can I ask who's calling?
Yes, Josh at Real Time with Bill Maher.
Oh, hi, Josh. How are you?
Hey, good. Is this Robin?
This is Robin.
Hey, you wanted to see our show?
I'd love to.
You going
to
be in L.A. on Friday?
I'm going to be driving down early Friday morning, yep.
All right, so why don't we do it? 6:30.
Oh, outstanding.
How many people?
It's just me.
You don't want to bring another?
I can talk to my friend Jan, see if she wants to come along.
Yeah, why don't you do that? I got some space available, so it'd be cool.
That'd be sweet.
So let me put it down for two people right now.
All
right,
cool.
And your first name is Robin?
Robin, R-O-B-I-N.
Goldstein, right?
G-O-L-D-S-T-E-I-N.
Okay, so if you have a pen, let me give you some quick details.
Sure.
We're located in Hollywood. We're at CBS on the corner of Beverly and Fairfax.
Okay.
Arrival time is 6:30.
All right.
And the show will be over at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And you can enter at the gate on Fairfax. There'll be free parking there for you.
Oh, okay, cool.
And if for any reason it's not going to be two people, can you let me know that as soon as possible?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's important you let us know. That way we can give them away to somebody else.
I know you want a full audience, so that'd be cool.
Exactly. So that's pretty much it. You're all set. We'll see you Friday night. Leave me a voicemail at that number ASAP if it's not going to be two.
I'll know later on today or early tomorrow. Do you know who's on the panel?
No idea. They're working on it as we speak.
Outstanding.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
How freaking cool is that?
Yeah.
So you asked for tickets and that's how it works, huh?
I went to a website.
Okay.
And, you know, Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to be going down. And so I figured like, well, be, you know, because Jason, actually I should talk to Jan or talk to Jason if they want to come with.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. But Jason said he went to a taping of The Price is Right. And I thought, I don't know that I want to see Bob Barker, but God, what's taping in L.A.? Because I don't get down there as often as I'd like to.
Right.
So I figured, well, maybe the Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
Ferguson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ferguson. And that's not taping this week. It's off this week.
Okay.
And so I thought, oh, well, what else can I see when I'm down there? That would be fun because I'm not a big Tonight Show fan. Although, you know what? I'd go see the Tonight Show in Burbank. That would be kind of cool. But he's not taping this week either, I don't think. Okay. And so I thought, oh, Bill Maher. He's in production now, right, for HBO, for Real Time with Bill Maher. So I went to take a look, and here's the thing. These fuckers charge people from out of town. They charge them $25 for a seat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I thought, I ain't spending, like, ticket brokers. I guess they get, like, a block of tickets, and then they sell them to rubes and shit like
that. Okay.
I go, well, that ain't going to happen. Like, I ain't paying $25 to go see a free show.
Right.
I already pay HBO.
Right.
I ain't paying for that. But I found, I dug a little bit further, and I found on the website a place where you could send an email. I go, hey, I'm going to be in town, you know?
Right on.
So, that was Josh, my new buddy Josh.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I'm sure that he was confused because the email comes from Robin Diane Goldstein. I don't use his voice anytime except when I'm on the radio.
Oh, got it.
Right? So I was like, this is Robin? Yeah, it's confusing and you're on my podcast, but whatever. So.
Oh, that's cool. So when did you send this email for the show? Was it a week ago?
Tuesday.
Wow.
Yesterday? So, day before?
I've always had the impression that, at least on Letterman and Tonight Show, that they're backlogged for like a year.
They are? Except they also need people at the last minute.
Okay.
So, you know, apparently he's got space for me.
That's great.
I'm all access.
That's great.
I'm all in.
Did you
baby.
See the did you see his what's it called?
We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Hold on. Wait. I got a thought. Listen.
We got 8 seconds.
Did you see the way he was excited
Seven,
about you telling
six,
him?
Yes.
Bringing a friend or not?
Yes.
How anal they are about that?
Yes. Gotta go.
All right.
I can hit the side. More tunes. Bye bye.
Tacos. Cause tacos, they taste real good. Okay, that's enough of that.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love and brother is the preacher. Teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, diminution, obligation to my nation. All the children. That's what the world is today. Yeah. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Young folks walking around with their heads in the sky. Cities aflame in the summertime. Revolution, gun control, the sound of soul. Shooting rockets to the moon, kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
So, round and round we go. Where the world's headed, nobody knows. That's what
Beatles' new records are gas.
And the only safe place to live is on an Indian reservation.
And the band played on.
Eve of destruction, tax deduction.
City inspectors, bill collectors,
cyclone, Indian man, population out of hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hill. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
From the top of the Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're 40 minutes, give or take 10 minutes worth of crap that we're going to cut out of the show. Into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Well, there's a lot of cutting we got to do.
No, there isn't.
That whole thing where we were messing around with the sound.
Yeah.
And also, do people really want to hear me on the phone with the guy from Real Time with Bill Maher?
Well, bleep out the numbers and stuff and the address. But yeah, that's kind of interesting.
You think?
Yeah, of course. It happened in real time.
Hey. Maybe I can get Bill Maher on this show. Who wants him?
All right.
That'll be exciting. Well, you said I could talk about it next week, but you know what it's like. You're basically sitting in a room with folding chairs with a bunch of other like-minded...
We don't know what it's like. We didn't know what Price is Right is like. All of a sudden, we got a little insight through Jason.
Oh, yeah.
So we need the insight from
you. So I need to, like, sneak a camera in or something.
No, just keep it log in your mind. Just keep a log in your mind.
I beg your pardon. Are you calling me a shithead?
No,
shit for brains?
Saying,
is that what you're saying?
Keep a log in your mind.
Is that what you're calling me?
Just keep a log in
Welcome
your mind.
Welcome back. Robin at SchnauzerLogic.com. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and master's degree in city planning. You knew that I was on Win Ben Stein's money, didn't you?
Yes, and I saw it.
And you saw the episode.
It was fabulous.
Do I have a link on the website? Should I put a link on the website?
Oh, definitely.
I should put that on fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
I should put that episode on YouTube.
Yeah, that was fun.
That would be rocking.
Yeah. I think everybody would enjoy that. Yeah, that's cool.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Even your mom.
Even my mom.
Your mom's.
I remember being very excited to see you on Win Ben Stein's Money. You
Is that
were,
right?
Yeah, yeah, you were very...
telegenic?
Well, you were relaxed and fun, and it was cool.
I guess there's a part of me that would just so want to be on TV. I'm going to be 49 in another couple of weeks, which is really hard for me to believe.
And my birthday is when?
I have no fucking idea. I told you I don't know.
It's actually going to be on a Wednesday this year, which I can't make
Okay, well,
it.
That only knocks it down to 52 possibilities.
It's September 27.
All right, I'm going to write that down
it's
here.
It's 3 Wednesdays from today.
People can send you a birthday wish.
That would be nice.
Parviz, P-A-R-V-I-Z. Although, you know, they can also send it to P-A-R-V-I-S or P-A-R-V-E-E-Z-E, or I have all of those as aliases to go to your mailbox.
Thank you.
But Parviz, P-A-R-V-I-Z, at schnauzerlogic.com, they can send you birthday wishes.
That would be nice. And caviar dreams. I'm turning another number on September 27th.
What was that date again?
Wednesday, well, September
27th. I wrote the 26th. Hold on.
Wednesday, September 27th.
You know, I'm glad that I recorded that guy from Bill Maher's show because I have no fucking idea where I'm supposed to be or what time. Like, I wasn't listening at all.
Well,
I was just...
Yeah, you were just kind of surprised. But yes. He didn't say, but I would imagine when you get there, you have to give your name. But he just said to show up at 6:30.
He did.
Yeah.
And he said, naked? Show up at 6... Am I supposed to be naked?
No. Show up at 6:30.
You don't think going naked... Oh, is it costumes optional?
Yes. Okay. And it'll last till 9:30. You'll be there for 3 hours.
Actually, last till 9, he said.
9:30.
No, I wrote down 9.
Mm-hmm. All right. 9:30.
It's nine.
Listen to it back.
I will listen to it back.
And then send me an apology at parvise@schnauzerlogic.com.
Arrival time is 6:30.
All right.
The show will be over at 9 o'clock.
All right. Listen here. I want to talk to you about a couple of different things here, but I want to talk about... Yes, what?
You said your birthday's in a couple of weeks. You're 49. You always want to be on a game show.
I would love to be... I want to be famous.
You are, though.
No, I always thought when I was younger that I was supposed to be famous, that I had some kind of important message to give out. That's how fucked up I was, that I thought in my mind that there's a reason that I'm going through all the shit that I'm going through in my life, and that I am all the weird, fucked up combination of things that I am, and then I'm supposed to be famous in order to share all of this stuff with people. Not this, I'm going through this because God has a sense of humor. You know, and I'm fucking court jester to the universe, right? And as I got older, I kind of gave up the idea that was going to be the case.
Right.
But then I see things going on. I go, well, that should be me. Why isn't that me? I'm charismatic.
You were?
All right. But that's not so interesting. But this, my friend, this is very interesting.
And now it's time for your favorite segment of the week. It's Ask Parviz, starring Parviz Vitali.
Vitali.
I know a man named Otis who invented a room, and his heart was filled with pride. I said to Mr. Otis, what does your room do? He said it goes from side to side. So I said, Mr. Otis, if you take my advice, you'll be the richest man in town. You gotta take that room that goes from side to side and make it go up and down.
And that was good advice, good advice.
That's right. Welcome. Here's Parviz.
Ask Parviz.
Ask Fisco. All right. So, first of all, last week.
No. I don't want to hear about last week. I don't want to hear negativity about last week.
We have no new questions.
Okay. That's not a good sign.
No one wrote in any questions.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
We can check that off the list. What's next?
No. Here's a question that we had last week.
Hi, this is a question for Ask Parviz.
We had it last week.
My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado. And my question is...
on the planet Zoom?
I've been reading a little bit, and
I'm bleeding out of my ears.
I know that physicists and astronomers talk a lot about dark matter these days,
yes,
and dark energy, and I really don't understand what that's all about.
You're not
but
alone.
But I'd really like to know,
yes,
and I know that Parviz is so well-read and so knowledgeable that he'll be able to tell me what that's about and explain it to me in a very clear fashion. I'm hoping he can do that, and he can relate that to
Angela?
Okay.
Oh, listen. So, Angela.
On the show.
Okay,
bye-bye.
But don't hang up. Wait. Angela.
I love Angela. Angela's so cool.
Okay. So when we did this segment,
thank you, Angela.
Yes, thank you again, Angela. So what I thought that you would do was say things like, "I have no idea what Angela's talking about."
But I had an answer for her.
Yeah, but it was.
What do you mean? No. Don't tell me I was wrong.
Okay. What was your answer to her
about the stoplight?
Yes. Okay. Not funny.
What do you mean not funny? It was not supposed to be. First of all, when did you ever get the idea that this show is supposed to be funny?
I don't know. But that was not.
Not supposed to be funny. This is Ask Parviz.
I thought this was an opportunity for you to talk about
real
things. That was how I imagined it when I wrote the segment.
Okay.
That this would be. So let's say she asked you that question and you would. Do you know? Let me ask you a question. Do you know anything about dark matter?
No.
Okay. Why isn't that a fine answer? And then talk about stars and, you know, what do you know about science? And
it's not funny.
I understand that, but when you were, I know, but neither is traffic lights.
Okay, so it worked. So it worked perfectly.
But that was the thing, is these are jumping off points to talk about your life. That's how I envisioned this. I didn't tell you that.
You never told me any of this.
Of course not.
You let me go on my own.
Well, I figured, yes, exactly. So I figured if you got that question, if somebody walked up to you and they said, what do you know about dark matter? You would go,
Darth Vader.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on
with my
life.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
It's over. Go home. Go.
You seem disappointed. You should not be disappointed.
I expected more.
Oh, what do you mean you expected more? What were you expecting?
All right, we'll take a last break. We'll be right back.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 53 minutes into this second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali. Are you having a good time today?
Oh,
I can never
tell. Awesome. What do you mean you can never tell? Well, I'm loving this.
Are you really?
Every week I love this.
All right.
I look forward to this every single week.
Why don't you bring your wife along one week? She could sit in with us.
Yeah, she definitely could sit in with us. It's just she works late and stuff, so.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
27th of September.
27th of September, the big P man.
You're going to be 35.
Has a birthday. 36.
Okay.
36.
So I'm some 14 years older than you.
That's it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you're older than Jason.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we're winding down. Come on, pep it up. Pep it up.
Steve Irwin. You want
poor guy.
Run with it.
Steve Irwin. All right. This is my 2 minutes of Steve Irwin.
Here, by the way, before we get going, let me just get the sick joke in right now. So I'm looking here in the Drudge Report. And
oh,
it says,
shit.
Crocodile Hunter. Kids of Crocodile Hunter may follow in his footsteps. And I think, really? Be killed by a ray?
Stingray, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they're going to... Okay.
Wow. Okay. I was actually shocked and
saddened
by Steve Irwin.
Profoundly saddened.
I found out, I think, at 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, Sunday or Monday, I forget what night it was, and when it just happened, like, you know, Australian time.
Yes.
So it was like 8 o'clock our time. But when I found out, I had a hard time that next morning, that night sleeping, I was like, wow, I can't believe this really bums me out. But he seemed like such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's only 44 years old.
Yeah.
And what I heard is that they've had, in Australia, they've had two stingray deaths in 60 years.
Right. They're not considered to be, they're not aggressive creatures.
And it went through his heart. It could have gone through his thigh, his arm, his stomach.
Yeah.
It went through his freaking heart.
Where he was located, and it went straight through his sternum and went through his heart.
Unbelievable.
And that was it. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Oh, poor
horrible,
guy.
Horrible, horrible tragedy.
Poor guy.
Why do you think it is that we care about people? I mean, not that we shouldn't, right? But
I think because he was young.
Okay.
Yeah, because if he was 84...
I mean, how many Crocodile Hunter episodes have you seen?
Maybe one.
That's the thing. It made every news show, right? It was
an icon. He really is an icon.
Well, why? Because he's one of the... I mean, so...
He's one of the only ones that's televised that's a Crocodile Hunter. That has movies, that has kids that love him.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Is it the
kids
thing,
one.
You think?
Name another Crocodile Hunter.
Phil.
Yeah, Phil. But you see, he retired a few years
Crocodile
ago.
Crocodile Phil.
Crocodile Phil.
Crocodile Phil.
This is Phil. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think he was young. I think he was well known. And it was just a tragedy. It really was. And the other sad thing was when he died, that moment, I think it took like 12 hours or so to tell his wife because she was out hiking and she had no form of news or anything. So she had no idea what was going on.
And so what do we take away from this?
Well, I don't think you should be having a kid if you're a crocodile hunter.
Really? That's what you take away from
this?
That's
exactly what I take away from this. Because there's a 3-year-old kid that has no dad because dad's on the edge every freaking day.
Wow.
Yeah. If you're a cop, don't have kids.
How?
Right? If you're a plumber, don't have kids. Or if you're a dairy man, don't have kids. Because you could slip and fall on milk and crack your head on a crate.
Okay.
I'm just saying pretty much every job, don't have kids.
I see. I'm really surprised. That's so interesting to me because I looked at his death. I looked at his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his death as a opportunity to celebrate the wonder, right, that our existence is, and to treasure how precious it is.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
It's so sad. It really is sad that he's dead. I don't know why. It's like he was so freaking young. How sad is that? Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is sad.
I like the way you say it better.
No, but I'm just like, you're totally right. It's like how precious life is. And did he say goodbye to his wife? Did he kiss her? Did he say, I love you? Did he say, I love you to the kid?
No, so you need to live each moment.
That
you
I don't agree with, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
You're going to say live each moment to the fullest? No, I don't have the energy. I really don't have that kind of energy. I don't know where you're getting that from. No. If you want to live each moment like 10% to the fullest, I could probably do that.
You got,
yeah.
You got
but
10%.
I got no 100% every moment. That ain't going to happen.
No.
No, no, no. That's a bunch of crap.
That's going to kill you.
That shit will kill you.
That shit will kill you. Damn, Lord.
Seriously, live each moment by
10%. That's right.
Then you can sustain the whole lifetime.
Coffee, maybe 15, 16%.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, quit the smiling at everybody saying thank you. Just do a partial part of the day.
All right. I was wrong.
All right.
I was just completely wrong.
Hey, Monday, 9/11. 9/11. Hey, let's end on a high note. A tower high note. 5 years ago, you know what? I'm shocked that the Oliver Stone film and the other film, Flight 93, are not doing well.
Why are you shocked?
Sarcasm. Because
who wants to? Oh, okay.
Because
sorry.
It's only been 5 years. Are you insane? Who wants to relive that so soon? And what are we reliving? We all know what happened. It's 30 years from now when the kids are 15 and 20 that kind of want to know what happened. Not us. What the hell we want to know for? We just saw it 5 years ago.
Where do you remember where you were?
Oh yeah, I was actually at the Safeway. I was working dairy that day.
Wow.
And it was like 6:30 in the morning, I think, and a guy comes up to me, he had headphones, he was working the night shift, and he said, plane just hit the World Trade Center. I said, all right. And then it was terrible. It was a really, really bad day.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we were doing comedy at that time.
More or less.
But I do remember thinking, how can you be funny after something like this?
And yet
we managed to not be, so it worked out well.
Exactly. So basically the world caught up with you.
So where were you on 9/11?
I was lying in bed, and I used to watch TV in the morning from bed. I don't do that anymore, but I used to watch TV in bed. And I got up and I turned on the news.
Okay.
So, I don't know, it's probably 8 o'clock in the morning, and saw these images, right, of I think the first plane had hit the tower.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was too...
You being from New York as well.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
And, well, I watched them put the towers up.
Oh.
So, you know, because I'm... from New York. I mean, I used to watch them go up. So I realized at that point that you can see things that don't make any sense to you. Your brain is not capable of processing everything that you see. That's why I tend to walk through this world unnoticed. Okay, that's it.
All right, David Blaine.
There you go. All right, next week, big show, number
big
27.
Show. Which is my birthday, September 27th.
I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I really miss you both a whole lot.
Because he's just got me.
Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, don't be attached to the outcome. And have yourself a great fucking week. Think of the crocodile hunter. Think of 9/11. And be kind to yourself. All right. We'll see you next week. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
I'm in my vagina.